Hi, welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have with me Whitney Elkins Hutton. Whitney is the Director of Investor Education at passiveinvesting.com, the owner of ashwealth.com, and author of the number one bestseller, Money for Tomorrow: How to Build and Protect Generational Wealth, which you can see on the wall behind her. I love that. Through her proven wealth building framework, Whitney empowers high earning professionals and business owners to create secure passive income streams that support a legacy of financial freedom for generations. With over 800 million in assets, including 6,500 plus residential units, 15 express car washes, and 2,200 self-storage units, Whitney guides clients to invest strategically, helping them confidently turn a single $100,000 investment into hundreds of thousands within a few years, or millions over decades. So I personally would love to get your book, which I will. And it's very interesting how much you are actually managing. So how did you know that you liked this financial world, and when did you become a financial advisor?
I'm actually not a financial advisor. I'm a
How about
financial
that?
educator and mentor. So very different. Yeah. So financial advising, there's a licensure process with that. Maybe they're a corporate dealer. And also with a financial advisement, typically they're going to put you into a solution that they can sell you. For me, what I do as the director of investor education at passiveinvesting.com is that I'm one helping the investor understand what the investment is. I'm empowering them to make their own decision and craft their own portfolio in alternative investments that are disconnected from the stocks, bonds, and mutual fund world. And through that education, I can use examples like what we do in multifamily, self-storage, express car washes, as well as our debt funds, to help them understand what these investments are. And then if they want to invest, I'm going to pass them off to our IR team, our investor relations team. But that's what I do. And then, at Ash Wealth, my private company, I'm working with people one-on-one. Maybe they want to be a little bit more disconnected from the operator and they just want like one-on-one coaching. So, same thing, but I'm really trying to empower people like how money works, how to keep more of it so they can invest and create velocity in their portfolio, how to grow it. And here's the thing, somebody might be going, well, yeah, I can learn those first three things from my financial advisor. No, they aren't te they're teaching you what they want you to learn. I'm teaching you what you need to learn in order to understand the world and how to make wealth in it. And then, hopefully we've built a gazillion dollars in your portfolio and we're going to learn how to pass that on to the next generation and teach them how to do the same, steward that wealth.
Well, what do you think about the current state of knowledge that people have about general, their general wealth? I don't remember learning anything about how to manage. I mean, first of all, getting a checkbook. I just thought I had total money. So tell me some tips about that.
Yeah, for the average American, I think financial education does not come early enough or in a proper form. So we're being kind of fed into the system that perpetuates, people not to honestly build their own wealth and be independent and make independent decisions. And so I 100% agree with you. Like in my own environment, I wish my daughter is growing up in a very unique environment. Because we talk about how money works. She knows what she's 12 and she has been, earning income for 7 years. Like I would pay her to file my paperwork in my real estate businesses. That's how she learned her ABCs and her 1, 2, 3s, right? So I would pay her. She's earning an income. She knows how to save. She knows how to save for retirement because she's getting earned income. She has a Roth. Think how powerful that's going to be. She's going to contribute to a Roth. Which, by the way, her when she if she chooses to go to college, they can't take that as a form of financial use it against her in case she wants to get loans, right? And then like she's only gonna have to save until she's like 19 or 21, and she's gonna have her herself. She doesn't touch that until she's 60. She's gonna have millions of dollars without my help. So That
Oh
is
my
my mind.
gosh.
But what does that mean? She had to learn how money works. She had to learn the rules around money. And that's the thing. We don't really sit down with that type of education. We don't know what it takes to win the game. We don't know the rules. We don't understand the strategies that are going to make it successful. Okay. What we are sold are tactics. Get a retirement account, invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Invest in real estate. Invest in, I just got off a call about life insurance settlements. Everybody's talking about tactics, the next, shiny thing. We need to pull it all the way back and really understand the game, the wealth game. And that's how I lay it out in my book is, if, just think about it. If you went back and you were learning how to play Monopoly all over again, you'd ask the question, how do I win the game? That would be the first question out of your head. It's not like,
Yes.
I buy the house on, can I put a hotel on Boardwalk? No, it's like, how do I win the game? I don't understand. Okay, once you understand how you win the game, like, okay, are there rules? Are they like
Yeah.
firm rules? Are they flexible rules? Like, are they kind of like, how do you know? Well, what box do I have to color within, right? And then you start mastering the strategies about that, right? Like, do you understand the rules, as far as, how to win Monopoly? Like, you want to have the most money, the most property. But it's a little bit more nuanced behind that. Like, you want to get all three properties of the same color. And if you can get two monopolies on the same side of the board, the odds of you winning just skyrocket, right? So
Right.
that's what I teach people how to do is understand basic fundamentals, the objective, the rules, the strategy. And then we can start plugging it in with the type of tactic that you want to pursue. Are you just gonna continue investing in stocks, bonds, and mutual fund? No harm, no foul, but we need to know. We can then calculate how close to the finish line that's gonna get you. Or do you
Right.
want to take on a little bit more personal responsibility and either start acquiring real estate or cash flowing businesses yourself? Or do you want to learn how to invest in somebody else's deal, which is what I teach people how to do, so you can use your time, knowledge, and expertise to continue to do what you were meant to do in this world. Most people were not meant to buy real estate. They were not meant to start a business, right?
Right.
Most people, they're going to make the best doctors, the best lawyers, the best engineers, tech workers, or whatever, right? Like teachers, holy smokes. Like,
Yes.
whatever it is, like however you want to give back in the world. And then like let's put our time, knowledge, and expertise there, and then we learn how to build the portfolio that's going to serve us.
Absolutely. Okay, so how did you personally learn all of this?
By accident, honestly, through school of hard knocks. So I wrote the book Money for Tomorrow. Really, it started off as a bunch of notes that I was taking along the way in my wealth building journey. I would get something figured out, a rule of money, and I would jot it down. And sometimes I would alter the rule the more that I learned, right? And I was keeping all that to hand over to my daughter. And then I'm like, why am I keeping this for my daughter? Like, other people need to know these rules, the playbook, and the journey, so they can recreate it for themselves. But my journey started off in 2002. I mean, I was already good with money. I had a nice high-paying job. I was saving. I was the, classic, worker that was saving over 20% in their retirement accounts, in their 20s, which is kind of unheard of. So
Rare,
I would have
especially
probably been,
nowadays.
right? I mean, I was probably like, gonna do okay for myself, even if I stayed in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. But I decided to buy a house with a significant other, my boyfriend at the time. And, funny side note, my realtor put the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad into my hands. And I read the first two chapters and I went, okay, buy real estate. Cool. That's what we're doing. I won. Like, and I kind of skimmed the rest of the book. You guys will see that that did not work out for me. But anyways, I closed on that first deal, and about a month later, the relationship fell apart. And then I had a house, and then I had to get scrappy. Like, I thought I had the principal, interest, taxes, insurance, all the utilities under my name. I thought it was going to sink me, so I stuffed it full of roommates, completed the rehab on the property, and then probably made my number one investing mistake. I sold that property 11 months later, going,
Oh
whew,
boy,
I'm
okay.
out from underneath it. But
Yeah.
within a month, I realized, wait, okay, I made 52,000 at closing, and but then I calculated how much I had made, from rents from my tenants. I was putting money in my pocket every month. And then I was this is the wild, wild west of lending. I'm, made somewhere close to $70,000 total. And I was had zero money in the deal. I was 103% financed. I was
My
like,
goodness.
oh, so I can make money without my own money, without trading time for it. I was like, I need to learn this game.
Absolutely.
So that was really what kind of started the deal that kind of cracked it open. Now, not every deal went well. I started off the first few years living, flipping, and house hacking. I was chasing, the adrenaline paycheck. The word cash flow just was not in my vocabulary at all.
Yeah.
Several years later, I was like, we had our daughter, and I'm like, I want to retire or step back, but that means we need cash flow. And then a friend of mine goes, well, why don't you put a tenant into one of your flips? I'm like, oh, that's how people create cash flow. Amazing. Then scaled to 40 single family rentals. And then, just started hitting, every time I hit a ceiling of achievement, I tried to figure out what relationship, what process, what person was missing in my life to get to the next level. And so went from single family rentals to in partnership for our multifamily building that we learned a lot for like for I got paid to learn a very huge education there. Transitioned into multifamily real estate, scaled a private equity company, and just yeah, the gloves came off. Like it was amazing, amazing ride. But it was all these like little lessons that got fed to me over time.
So I'm hearing though from you, I'm getting a sense, let me put it that way, that you're a competitor. Maybe not with other people, but definitely with yourself.
I have high expectations of myself, I would agree.
And because you're talking a lot about winning games and changing your strategy because you made a mistake and you learned something from it. What would you say to individuals who are actually currently literally living paycheck to paycheck and have no idea how to stop that cycle?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, how I work with my clients, I start by first understanding what they want. So, I mean, these are questions somebody here listening to this can ask themselves, like, what do you want? Okay. And I wish we were talking before the show, guys. If you're watching the video, Julie was like, oh, I love the artwork behind you. I used to have another page up here that was a flow chart, and it says, are you happy? Yes, no. Very simple. And if it's, so if you're living pay to pay, paycheck to paycheck, you're in debt and you can't ask yourself, are you happy, and go resoundingly 100% yes, then it's a no. And then the next question is, do you want to do something about it? Yes, no.
And
Right?
there's no
If you say
middle.
yes, now we go into what skills do you need to acquire? What mindset do you need to acquire? What mindset, what skills, what network, who's the who? If you say no, I'm not happy, no, I don't want to do anything about it, keep doing what you're doing. Right? But if you're like, I'm not happy, I need something to change, okay? Then great. Then we need to start going, getting deeper into like, okay, now what mindset do we need to adopt? What skills do we need to have? What network do we need to have? And
Absolutely.
those things are going to change for you over time. So those are the first questions that kind of get you started. And then we got to like lay out the plan, right? Like get a little bit more crystal clear on what you want. Let's say you zoom out at 10 years and you want $10 million, and right now you're $100,000 in debt. Well, we got to put some milestones in the road to know that you're on track for that net worth at the end of 10 years. And then we'll start working back to just working on those milestones, trusting that you're on the path to getting that larger goal. But
Truly,
first,
yes.
it's really about like, do you want to change?
That's the key. The bottom line is you think you need to, or you think I have to. Nine times out of 10, you're not going to do that. But when you say I want to, it's totally different because
Absolutely.
you've made that decision.
You have to be intrinsically motivated in some form or fashion, right? I say this myself with my clients, like, what do you want and why do you want it? And we really try to drill down to the why that's tied to their personal emotion and their personal freedom, right? Because it's exactly what you said, Julie. If somebody identifies a why that somebody expects them to be, or they think they should be, they're gonna fall off the rails like so fast. They're not gonna stay motivated at all. But if it's just like, I'm working with a client right now and she needs, she has millions of assets and she has zero of it under her name. Like after building an amazing business and acquiring all this real estate, she got some really bad advice to put everything in a family member's name. And that family member is not doing so hot right now, right? So, anyways, she has an intrinsic motivation now to make that change. We got to find that, and that's going to be different for everybody. For somebody else, it's going to be their kids. For somebody else, it's going to be because they want abundance, right? Usually, it's some sort of pain we're trying to escape or change for ourselves. Right. But eventually the journey becomes about like once you kind of get away from the pain, you kind of feel that need, then we're trying to figure out how to get more into abundance. And then we get to deal with a whole another amazing set of questions which is what does fulfillment look like? I love those.
Yes, for sure. That's amazing. I just love how you're describing going along with the journey with the person who is your client. That's just amazing that you can go along with them and understand. The nice thing about it is, when I coach, I have a methodology that sounds very much like the process that you use. Most coaches do to some degree or another, but mine is pause. So, like you said, why do you want to do this? Do you want to do it? Yes or no? Are you happy or not? Yes or no? I mean, there's no kind of in between of that question. And then decide where you're going. That 10-year thing that you were talking about. And then at the end is propel. Okay, so start doing stuff, start taking action. And that's what I did when I decided I wanted to do my own business and when I decided that I wanted to live on the road. I live in my RV with my husband and my dog.
Awesome.
Yes, that I chose that this is what I wanted to do. I thought about it and planned for it for 7 years. And by the time I got to that 7 year, I realized when I look back, since the time I determined that I wanted to do it, every single decision had I had that in the back of my mind. Okay, is this going to help me get to that goal or not? That helped a lot with do I do it or not? So it helps a lot to have that those milestones like you were saying for sure. It can
Well,
be
and the
overwhelming if
clarity.
not.
Yeah, well, and the clarity too there that you're speaking to. I mean, you trained that part of your brain, the reticular activating system, to actually look for the solutions, right? Like as you're facing each one of those decisions to get to what you want, which is, traveling this amazing life in your RV, your brain could like because you trained it that way, you told it
Imagine it.
what you wanted it, right? It could like go, nope, that doesn't work, right? This over here will work. It'll start. It's kind of, we play this game with my daughter. I mean, I think we're kind of like aging out of it, but we call it the banana game. And but it was all about training the reticular activating system because we started the game. We're like, find yellow cars on the road. And she was like, there are no yellow cars. And I'm like, then it became after a couple of days, we couldn't drive 2 blocks without seeing a yellow car because we trained it that way. And then we tried to throw in red cars, and I'm like, that's too common. Every 5 seconds.
Or black or
So
white,
we,
and then you're like, oh no.
I mean, somebody would be talking in the car, and like, your 7-year-old in the back is going, banana, orange, banana, cherry. I'm
Oh
like, okay,
gosh.
hold on. You can't. Now we can't interrupt each other. We got to put more rules in place. But yeah, it's about training that reticular activating system. And it takes time to do that. And that's, this is where, for me, like I have people write down their goals. We vision into it. I have them read their vision at least once a month, right? As a reset. Okay. More often than they want to. We're all the time doing weekly reviews to be on track for the next week. We're looking at those goals. And, a lot of people would be like, oh, this is redundant, Whitney. Why are we doing this? I'm like, because we're keeping your goals front and center. You're staying, as Jay Papasan with the one thing likes to say, you're staying in relationship with your goals. Otherwise, we write our goals down like at the beginning of January. And then by like the middle of January, you've completely fallen off because we're
We,
XYZ.
and most of the time you don't even remember what they were.
Exactly. Oh, what was I going to do? But we want to stay in
Here we
relationship
go.
with them. Oh, yeah. I'm like the same. Like, well, first, I have everything digitally, but also written down too. But, we want to stay in relationship with them, but what we're doing is we're training our brain and what we're
Absolutely.
doing to find the answer for us a little bit easier. Like I'm in the process of my husband's actually in the process of buying a business. I'm helping him with it, but we're kind of spinning our wheels trying to figure out that how to get this one under contract. But because we knew we were looking at that goal every single week, we heard a conversation with somebody and we're like, oh, that's the person we need to work with. But we had trained our brain. Otherwise, we would have just like let that conversation just completely pass us by.
I wonder how many of us actually are walking through our lives because there's so much information everywhere, all the time. How much of us are just basically walking zombies because our brain has shut down at some point because they can't take anymore? I wonder that about, the television and media. And some days I sit back at the end of the day and I go, have I had an actual conversation with another person today? And that was really telling when I really stopped to think about that, is what am I actually building a relationship with? Is it a computer or is it a person? The computer can't buy what I'm selling, right? And the computer's not going to benefit from my experience or my compassion or any. What am I giving that I was meant to give to something else or somebody else in the world that I'm not doing because of, some choices that I'm making?
But I think that's, it's beautiful that you say that. And it's a process that when I onboard my clients, I don't know if you do something similar. Somebody, will come into my world and they're like, okay, let get me into the next investment right now. Okay. And this is my one-on-one coaching, not with picking investments in, passiveinvesting.com. Of course, like if you say, I want to invest, we're going to get you in there because there's a timeline, right? But like in the one-on-one coaching, I gotta, one, help them get clarity. Two, we have to create the space for them to do the work. And so the first thing is that we go through a purge exercise.
Oh, I love it.
But they're, yeah. So, well, okay. So I help, help them do the visioning. Then we're bringing it back to the milestone that we're going to work on for this 1 year together. And then we're breaking that down, planning it out. Like, what do we need to hit in each quarter? And then we just take the first quarter and we're going to break that down. And then usually they're like a little bit of overwhelmed. And I'm like, okay, great. We're going to look at your calendar. Look at your, for the next 3 months, what can you cut? If you can't cut anything, what can you defer? Like what is something you put on your calendar? You're like, well, I can actually kick this a month or two, right? To get more space.
Oh,
And there's all
easy.
the time, there's meetings and everything, right? Like we're commitment. I mean, hopefully nobody from my daughter's school is listening, but like I stopped going to council and I was like, for a season, I have to pause from being so involved in my daughter's school. I'll pick that back up once I've hit my milestone for the quarter. Okay. And then, if you're doing something that you can automate, right? Let's, take advantage of that. And then hopefully what's left on your calendar are only the things that you have to do, right? But we have to get that space. And part of that space is it's like you said, we have to be still. We have to have space for thinking. And that's another thing that I find with my clients is that they don't have a regular hour block in their weekly planning session to just sit and think, be the CEO of their life, right? They don't allow for 20 minutes in their day every single day just to plan out what the next day is going to look like. So we'll
Truly.
smooth. We
Yeah,
just
I mean,
need more space, white space.
how many mornings have I gotten up and been surprised by my calendar? You know, that speaks to me volumes. Okay, A, you're too busy, and B, you're not paying attention to what the most important things are. And C, you might want to do this the day before or the week before and know what your whole week looks like. Things are going to pop in. That's just how things happen. But if you do that purge, the space is there for you to be able to react and able to not just react, but react appropriately when a monkey wrench gets thrown into the works, right? Car breaks down, or whatever the case may be, it doesn't ruin your whole week and the progress that you can make during that week. So, 100% agree with that. I love the purge. Speaking of purge, try selling a 10-acre farm and get rid of everything to move into an RV.
I would love to do that. I have a dream to live in a tiny home. It won't happen full time, but we have a little A-frame trailer, and every time we take it out, it's amazing because I come back and I look around, I'm like, why do we have all this
What have we?
stuff?
I know. Well, we've been on the road now full time since September of 2023.
Oh, okay,
And
awesome.
yeah, and so now literally I'm at the point where we're going to be purging before we hit the road again. We winter in Florida, and then we travel during the shoulder seasons and summer. But now I'm like looking around because I know we're getting ready to do this purge. I'm looking around going, I haven't touched that in a year. I didn't even know it was here. Why did I put that? You know, I have Christmas plates and stuff that even during Christmas this year, I didn't use. So why do I still have them? If it's a sentimental reason, yeah. I mean, I can find a spot in our, we do have a storage area because there are some things I didn't want to have to rebuy if we had to come off the road. But I don't need a whole lot. It's really interesting. And I'm a clothes hound. I love clothes. Oh boy. Now I could care less because I have, someone said, I have my business shirts. This is a great idea from my friend. She says, I have my five business shirts. So when I have to have a meeting or something professional, do the podcast, I can put on my business shirt. When it's done, I take it off. I don't have to wash it for, you know, three or four times. And it stays ironed. Why, you know, and the rest of the time I can wear what I'm comfortable in, a t-shirt or whatever. So, you know, I don't think I could ever go back into corporate America every single day and wear heels and suits and stuff. No. Every
Oh
once in a
no,
while for a
no.
change. It's fun though. So what do you think is a woman's greatest challenge in dealing with money and learning to play the game that you have figured out with your clients? Women in particular.
Women in particular, well, so women in particular, I feel like struggle with just, you know, like what we were saying, creating that space. To think about themselves, to put themselves first. And it may not just be themselves. Maybe they, you know, have a family, they have a spouse, right? To put their that, you know, maybe they're the ones that are, you know, more motivated to do the financial work, to do the investing work. And but what if I am talking to a male investor, oftentimes it's going to happen really fast if they're going to invest. If I'm talking to a female investor, if they ever say I need more time to think about it, I have to stay in contact with them because I know life's going to get in the way. They're gonna, be thinking about what to cook at home. They're gonna be thinking about picking up the kids or whatever. And that's just part of our culture. Now, I'm gonna tell you a little bit of a story because I felt like I had to be given permission to do the work first and then be a wife and parent second. And I went to a Tony Robbins conference with a friend of mine. It was Ultimate Power Within. And if anybody's ever been to that, really, it's just a series of upsells into the larger programs. But there's amazing content. I mean, totally do one. So we went. I went with my girlfriend. She has three kids. At the time she was married and, kind of trying to figure out if she's going to stay in the marriage or not. And we get to the day that they're talking about business investing. So their business coach is talking. And he's down walking the floor with all the people that have paid $60,000, $70,000 to be there. My girlfriend and I are up in the nosebleeds, but I was so enamored watching him. And he's trying to prove a point, the difference that I described between men and women. Their ability to decide and move quickly. And as he's walking the aisle, he grabs a woman's jacket off the back of the chair and he goes, "I'll tell you why, women have a harder time doing this." And he throws the jacket on the floor. And he was very strategic. There's 10 men, one woman. Who bent over to go pick up the jacket?
Her.
The female. The men all were just looking at him. And the female was like, about to, and then, of course, it's her jacket. She didn't want it on the floor.
Yeah.
So he was like, "Ah, no, leave the jacket." And he just kept talking. And every time she would try to bend over to go get her jacket. And he's like, "Leave the jacket. Just listen to what I have to say and take action." And you could see her. She's vibrating. She's just like, "What do I do?" And he was like, "You ha women, you have to learn to step over the jacket." And I just love that analogy. I'm like, my friend, I'm like, did he just give me permission to not do the laundry and to not do the dishes? And it can feel disruptive, but for me, I've had to train myself and be okay with myself and to get my work done first, whether it's working on my businesses or my investing. And then I actually have time built in at the end of the day, like 20, 30 minutes before I go pick up my daughter. I purposely put that in my schedule. That's when I put away the laundry, I straighten up the house, and I still do those things, but I had to do them in reverse order.
Oh, wow. I am actually the opposite of that.
Oh, trust me, my brain operates better if the house if everything is all put away and everything, but that causes us creep,
Oh,
right?
no.
And
I mean,
so if we're talking about that,
I'm the
oh,
guy.
you're the guy. Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. Yeah,
So,
but you asked what gets in the way for most women is because
oh, yeah.
they're the ones in charge of that either by nature or by culture, and they have to collectively us as a whole as women would probably move faster and to if we just reverse things. And honestly, we probably have more time, right? If we
Oh, for
so
sure.
pressed, get our big rocks done first in the day, and then take the rest of the day to do the laundry. And I'll have phone calls and I'll be folding laundry sometimes.
It's amazing what our culture does do to us. How we can rearrange our thinking and our day to make that space again, like you were saying, but also to help others who don't feel like they fit in that cultural mold too. So when I was 16, my dad left. So I became kind of the person of the house because I had to take care of my mom. She kind of fell apart for a little bit. So I, at that point in time, just kind of blew out all the expectations. I was not going to be a stay-at-home mom. I was not going to, blah, blah, blah. I went to the extreme, obviously, but I knew myself, even at that point in my life, that I didn't really fit in the mold of the woman in the culture, So I have had to slow down. I've had to learn the opposite. I've had to learn to ignore the speaker and pick up the
We were talking at the beginning of the
Mm-hmm.
show. You were like, hey, you're really competitive. But, I am a highly driven person. And so I've had to learn. I live in the fringes of both, right? I'm either super on, or I'm the person that's like rearranging the kitchen cabinets to figure out how to get like one more thing in the cabinet, right? So long story short, I've had to learn how to bring the two
Bring
in
it to
together.
in together.
Right. To be able to have, to live more in my femininity in a way, right? And maybe that's because when I was, growing up, I'll share a personal story. My mom was very adamant, like, you're gonna go to school, you're gonna get a good job, you're gonna, provide for yourself. And then, anytime I had a boyfriend, she was like, no, don't bring him home. I was like, what? Like, I think he's the
Sound like your
one. And she's
mother.
like, Tommy's not the one. He's not the one. And so she was constantly talking me out of that. And like when I finally brought my husband home, she was like, okay, now I agree with you. Now I was well in my 30s, right? So, but I think I was pushed more into the male side of the culture. So I've had to learn how to kind of come back to center a little bit.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for that personal story. Sometimes people don't want to share, but I love that's where the gold is, I think, because you bring all of
Right.
that. That's what makes you unique in the services that you provide, for sure. So tell me, what made you want to write the book to begin with?
Well, so the book actually, Money for Tomorrow, was originally a series of notes and documents. When we had our daughter, I was very adamant that I wanted to scale a business or a set of businesses that we could, one, provide for us, but two, also we could pass on to our daughter. And as I kind of started figuring out the game, how money worked, and putting all the puzzle pieces in place, I would just document. I didn't journal, but I would just open up a Google document and I would just, drop all my notes in there. And then I started coaching people, and I would pull from those notes. And then, people were like, hey, you want to speak on podcast? You want to speak in front of a crowd? And then I 1 year I spoke in front of the Bigger Pockets conference. And at the end, they were like, hey, would you write a book? And I'm sitting here going, write a book? And I almost said no. And my friend just grabs my hand. She goes, she would love to write a book. And
Gotta love those friends.
she's like, say yes. And I was like, yes.
Why not,
And then
right?
everybody's like, great, we'll talk about it after the conference. And I'm like, what did I just say yes to?
That's perfect. That's great. Okay, so I have three questions to end out our interview today. Before I do that, is there anything you want to share with the group? That are words of wisdom that you would share with any group of women anywhere.
I would say wherever you're at is where you're supposed to be right now. And then, the quickest way to get to where you want to be is to put yourself in community with a mentor, a coach, and a community that will help you level up quickly. Don't do it alone. I think women, we try to wear this badge of courage that we got it all done ourselves, especially in real estate, and investing. None of what I do I do on my own. Like we all we that was such the that was like the light bulb moment. I was like, once I realized that I could go further faster together, either investing with somebody else and jointly in a deal or in somebody else's deals, I was like, oh, I that 10-year vision is a 5-year vision. I get to dream it into something else at 10 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. Dream it into existence. Love that. So here's my first ending question. If you could close your eyes just for a moment,
Literally, you want
really?
me to? Okay. I was like, am I supposed to?
When I say the phrase wise woman, what appears in your head? Open your eyes and describe it.
I mean, I think of kind of an elder is what I envision. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
what about her makes her wise?
The life and the years, right? Like she's seen so much more. She's been through it all. We had a conversation with our daughter yesterday. We had to do some coaching through like a
Yeah.
situation, and she what led her into the situation was that struggling a struggle at school, and of course that struggle was the worst thing that had
Oh
happened.
yeah.
You know
Oh.
what? At age 12, you're right. That is the worst thing that has happened to you, and we're not going to take the struggle away from you. We need to guide you through it because learning the struggles over and over again, right? That's what's going to allow you to like persevere through life. And so when you ask me about those wise women, they've been through it all, they've seen it all. And so they're talking to me going, hey, girl, what you are struggling with today with your 12-year-old, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait.
Yeah, I love that answer. I do. Oh my goodness. So, where do you like to roam, Whitney?
Outdoors. I don't know if you
Yeah.
can tell. Anywhere
It's
in
pretty.
nature, the
Yeah.
mountains. We live in the foothills of Boulder, and so yeah, you can find me. Try to find me on a running trail. Like you're not going to find me in the middle of town.
Oh, nice. I too love the outdoors, as you can tell by our lifestyle. And what makes you restless in a good way?
Restless in a good way. I will say the intentions are largely good, is that I want to have a more fulfilling life. And I don't want to confuse that with having more money or a bigger life, but I always, if I do my dream board, I want to achieve everything on my dream board, right? So I do get a little bit of
That's
restlessness whenever I'm like, we haven't done the safari in Africa. What is this
right.
happening?
There is nothing. That's the funny thing is when I started my podcast, Roaming with Restless Women, restless just kind of came out of me. And it's probably because I'm restless. I like to move around. I like to experience new things. And I like to learn new things. So that's what makes me restless. Those are all positive things. But when I asked the question the first few times, people were like, "Well, I don't like to be restless." That it's kind of, they took it as a little bit of a negative. And that's why I started asking the question differently, is in
I
a positive
wonder if it,
way.
well, right. And I wonder if, I think it's human nature that we oftentimes attract what we need in our life. And sometimes that's an opposite.
Yeah.
So a restless energy like is on a fringe, right? And so you need a lot an energy in your life that's going to balance that. For
Yeah.
me, I'm restless. My husband, one of his core values is leisure.
Oh, I love
Right. And so, like, for
it.
somebody who's super restless, you hear the word leisure, you're like, lazy?
That's
No, leisure. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Right. So, but I mean, everybody has to define those words for themselves, right?
True.
And then you realize the true context. But I think you have to have those balancing energies.
You are right, absolutely. And my balancing energy is when I do make space, as you were saying, and I'm waiting for the next opportunity, or I rest. So to me, that the restlessness and rest are the opposits. So I like that. Yeah. Well,
I
thank
love
you.
that. I've had to live in, yeah. I've had to live into that. I mean, 7 o'clock, I got an off button.
Oh, I'm a night owl myself. Okay, so what I would like for you to do now is just tell our audience how they can best get a hold of you and of your book.
Yeah, so if you're looking for an active investment to go into, like a multifamily express car wash debt, you can find me at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com.
Okay.
And if you want to get a hold of me personally or my book, you can visit Ash Wealth, ashwealth.com. And if you want to see the book, /book, super easy.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
I love talking about money because I don't understand it. So maybe I
Grab
need,
a
oh, I'm
copy of
going to
my
grab your
book.
book. I'm going to grab your book for sure. Thank you
Yes.
so much, Whitney. I appreciate your coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.